Consulting company Black & Veatch released the draft in December with recommendations for energy-saving measures, conversions to biomass heating, and further study for potential new hydroelectric power plants for Southeast. The draft has met with mixed reaction, and that theme continued in the House Energy Committee's second hearing on the plan. Wrangell Mayor Jeremy Maxan testified on behalf of the Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board of Directors. SEPA owns hydro plants and transmission lines in the central and southern panhandle.
We recognize that we have a hydro storage capacity shortage. SEPA is currently evaluating options to increase our storage capacity as well as other new energy resources. We are certainly planning for economic growth. We also recognize that the recent increase in the cost of heating oil has resulted in significant conversions from oil space heating to electric space heating. We felt that on our system.
The Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan highlights this growing number of residents and communities with hydropower who are switching to electrical heating. The document calls these conversions the Achilles heel of hydropower in the region because the cheap wintertime heat source is driving up demand and using up the hydro resource. But many in the region say the state and private companies can build more hydro plants and transmission lines to keep up with the increasing demand. Paul Southland is executive director of the ACE Coalition, which is pushing for an intertie with Canada.
The draft report contains assumptions focused only on the home heating component and then minimizes the impact of heating oil pricing. The RP does not describe why consumers wisely have substituted from oil to electric heat, but focuses on altering consumer behavior with demand-side management and biomass as opposed to market forces and market principles. Simply put, who is listening to the consumer's clear choice of hydroelectricity to heat their homes where it is available?
Southland said he couldn't figure out why the plan recommended against construction of transmission lines that would connect the region to British Columbia that could be used for importing and exporting electricity. The consultant's analysis called this and other transmission line segments too costly to pursue under current market conditions. The plan does recommend proceeding with several hydro projects and two transmission line projects already in the planning stages. Those include power lines that would link both Cake and Metlakatla to the SEPA system, already connecting Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan. Jody Mitchell is CEO of the Inside Passage Electrical Cooperative, which provides power to several small Southeast communities, including Cake. She says electrical home heating has impacted plans for the connection to that community.
But now that everyone's converted to electric heat, it wasn't even a year after they cut the ribbons on the new intertie between Swan and Tyee that we were told there was no power for Cake. And, you know, that was really crushing for us and our plans. We do have a plan B, so to speak, in that the Metlakatla intertie, we believe, will be able to provide us power indirectly, of course, through the SEPA network.
Mitchell said waiting for another project to come online could push back a hydropower connection to Cake. A number of people testifying weighed in on another of the plan's recommendations, converting homes and public buildings to pellet or biomass heating in order to fill in the gap until more hydropower plants can be built. Larry Edwards with Greenpeace and Sitka said air exchange and ground source heat pumps are proven technologies already in use in Southeast communities.
What we need is a 10-year program for conversion to heat pumps and related technologies, not a 10-year program for biomass. For example, in Sitka, in 2008, already 38% of residential heat was, according to the city's load forecast, electric resistance heat, and of course it's more than that by now. Converting these homes to heat pumps would cut power consumption enough to also move all fuel oil users to switch to heat pumps, with a net reduction of the city's power consumption.
And commercial fisherman Joe Sebastian of Kuprinoff thought pellet production would not be a sustainable business in Southeast.
The idea of turning the tongas and the old growth into a pellet farm, much like it used to be a pulp farm, is never going to get anywhere. And the on-the-ground cost of production and in the field and shipping is going to make the pellet-only industry cost prohibitive.
Others thought biomass heating could help offset the high cost of heating. Trevor Sandy of Ketchikan said his companies have designed and built a wood chip heating plant for the schools, pool, and gym in the Prince of Wales Island community of Craig. along with conversion of the Kaufman Cove School from diesel to wood heat. He thought it made more sense than the transmission lines that have been completed.
The cost of that intertie really hasn't benefited Ketchikan like we all had hoped it would be. And I agree with the IRP in that regard. I think that biomass really makes sense for all of Southeast, especially when you get off of the Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan hydro grids. But even in those areas, I believe that it's going to be necessary.
Some of those testifying thought transmission lines could be built for less than the costs estimated in the draft plan. But Bill Corbis, a former manager of Juneau's utility, Alaska Electric Light and Power, was supportive of the findings on intertie costs.
The analysis looks at the transmission intertie from two perspectives, two economic perspectives, and it fails to satisfy either test. So I am satisfied with the proposed elimination of that concept, which has been around for a long time.
The plan recommends going ahead with several projects in communities that are not slated for connection to the hydro grid. One such project is at Thayer Creek in Angoon. Peter Narrows is president and general manager of Kootsnuwu, Angoon's native corporation. He appreciated that the corporation's project was recommended in the draft plan. However, he thought the document was not preparing for community growth and increasing electrical demand.
Angoon's a half a megawatt load right now. We have an airport plan that's not in this IRP. We have new ferry terminal the state's building that's not in the IRP. We have dedicated to our shareholders 1,000 lots. None of those lots are being absorbed during the time period that is provided here. And an all-electric home would be a really nice solution for our community, given that we have a project. Now the question is, should that project be 1 megawatt or should it be 3 or 4 or 5?
The Alaska Energy Authority is taking public comments on that draft plan until March 19th. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.